We had embezzlement. We had all kinds of issues. And this all came about because we were approaching hiring team members the wrong way.
From Spaldameron Tenney, it's the Prosperous Doc Podcast. Real stories, real inspiration, real growth. A show for doctors who are ready to improve their overall wellness in every aspect of life. Now here's your host, Shane Tenney.
Welcome back to the Prosperous Doc Podcast. My name is Shane Tenney and glad to have you with us for today's conversation. An essential piece to any successful medical practice, and really most businesses in general, is a great team around you, working with the right people in the right seat toward the right goal. And yet too many of us are finding the insanity of the day right now is finding, onboarding, retaining people. And so many of you in medicine, in dentistry, are finding just this Groundhog Day cycle of dealing with the same employee problem almost day after day after day. When at the wrong, worst possible time, somebody comes in and says, I'm going somewhere else, or I'm going somewhere else for more money. Well, my guest today has a lot of thoughts about this, and it's not just from a far distant theoretical, he's lived it. Instead of continuing the cycle and just trying to band-aid the team and the staff, he's set out to design a process for job candidates to ensure that he finds the right people for the right role. And then once the practice is able to keep the right people in the seats for a longer time, there's more energy, the culture improves, and everybody gets to start thinking about growing, thriving, and making things better for the team and for the patients. And so I'm excited to welcome today Dr. Michael Neal to the Prosperous Doc Podcast to learn about the process that he's created and is replicating in practices around the country. Mike, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Shane. Excited to talk with you today.
Yep. So you're hailing from Holly, Pennsylvania, and are trained and clinically practice with your wife in optometry. Tell us a little bit about your clinical practice, a little bit of the background here.
Yeah, you betcha. A small town practice. We treat whatever walks through our front door, which can be shockingly surprising sometimes, like all rural practices. Full scope eye care. And I've been doing that since, graduated in 2000. So I've been doing that since shortly thereafter.
Okay. And your husband and wife duo practice, right?
We are.
So that's probably a whole different conversation we could have about working with the person you're married to. But
yeah, that's episode two. Yeah. Tune in.
All right, yeah, right. Stay tuned. Tell us about the evolution of your practice. Did you guys start from scratch? Did you buy a practice? What are the last 20
years? Well, actually, Amy founded it. She didn't want to go into private practice originally. Kind of did that kicking and screaming, and we've never looked back. So it was in a rural area, underserved. There wasn't any eye care in the town. And she started it out. I joined the practice in 2008 and never looked back.
And so she was running the practice for, I guess you're saying, about 8 years or somewhere close to that before you came in. At what point in there did you begin to realize the challenge that exists with managing a team and hiring people? And then what happened that caused you to say, I got to do something different?
Well, I'll tell you what, I came in because the practice burned down to the ground. We lost the whole thing.
Not figuratively, you're meaning literally?
Oh, it lit on fire. I think we got the phone call 1:23 in the morning in April 2000, was it 8 or 2000? Yeah, 2008. Rolled out of bed and we saw the glow on the horizon. The whole thing was went up. The entire strip mall that it was in burnt to the ground. It's a very old strip mall and gone. So that's how I joined the practice. And trial by fire, literally.
Yeah. What caused the fire, out of curiosity?
It was ruled as arson, but we don't know.
Okay.
They had, I think, 7 different arson investigators in. Our practice was located right next to a modular home building company during the 2008 crisis. The fire started underneath their business, but that's all it ever went to. It was an awful time. Absolutely awful time.
That sounds so stressful for Amy. I'm thinking you were somewhere else at the time and decided we're going to have to join forces to rebuild this literally from the ashes. So you then gave birth to the Phoenix practice, right? which arose from the rubble. So then I guess pick up the story there. How'd you start rebuilding? How'd you navigate the stress of that time?
As well as we could. It was miserable. Any of your listeners have had to go through something like that. There's not a single thing about it that is exciting. But we were able to get back up and running again very quickly. And we did that with community help, other docs help, etc. But what ended up happening shortly thereafter is the team, and this is where it kind of pivots to team members. It was a very small practice. We started to grow. I like to grow businesses. That's one of the things I get most excited about. We serve people, we grow, do as good a job of that as possible. And that's what ended up happening to the eye care practice. And as we started to get a little bit bigger, the team problems, staff problems, I don't like the word staff, but they started to get a little bigger and a little bigger as well. And what ended up happening is just one of those aha moments where I realized, like you had said, the Groundhog Day phenomenon, like Bill Murray, he drops the proverbial toaster into the bathtub, which is, don't try this at home, folks, but just a hilarious moment in the movie. It just kept happening to him. And that's what was happening with us, with the revolving door of hiring and team members.
And so what did that look like? If you can take yourself back to that moment, I don't know where, in the 2009-10 range, something like that.
Yeah.
What was happening?
Well, one of the things I remember in detail was our optician got served with divorce papers at our front desk. I thought that was interesting. And we had embezzlement. We had all kinds of issues. And this all came about because we were approaching hiring team members the wrong way. We were approaching it completely upside down. And unfortunately, we got the results that we deserved because of how we were approaching it.
Okay. So talk a little bit about that. And maybe for the purpose of our dialogue, I'll call it the old school way.
Yeah.
What was the old school or the conventional approach that you started with?
Well, it was generally get applicants via word of mouth, grandma, the patient's daughter, who's absolutely wonderful, turns out to be a disaster, like all of those types of things. It started with essentially resume. And what ended up happening with the resume process is we would get people in, we would look at resumes, try and discern whether or not they're good or they could potentially be good at a healthcare position based upon a resume. And, you know, when was the last time? Have you looked at resumes lately? Like, have you actually combed through these things lately?
I definitely know where you're going to. I'm fortunate that I don't have to do the resume combing anymore, but I'm tracking with you.
I don't
call a list of lies for a reason.
I don't have to do that anymore either, thankfully, but they're garbage. I mean, the younger folks who tend to apply for healthcare jobs, even if everything on that resume was completely accurate, not embellished in any way, they don't have enough to say to fill a sheet of paper, right? And so you're looking at these resumes that are not only incomplete, but don't do anything to tell you who the person is. So what do you rely on? Well, you rely on an interview. So let's jump to interviews. How many times has a younger person, let's say, one of the job candidates, sat in front of the doctor, the air quotes doctor, and been completely comfortable, 100% themselves, and you get to know exactly who they are? Well, I can answer that for you. It's virtually unheard of, right? What ends up happening instead is the doc intimidates the heck out of people, terrifies the person. You get the deer in the headlights look. I mean, I've done this hundreds of times. It was ridiculous. And so you end up just having to go eeny, meeny, miny, mo, or flip a coin, or you pick the person who might have the best personality, all those things. What you're not doing, and this is what we were not doing, is you're not looking at a person who can fulfill a very specific role within a practice using their natural strengths and talents and perform. Okay. We just didn't have the concept of performance baked into that selection model. And it wasn't our fault. It's not that we're dumb or anything like that. Well, jury's out perhaps, but the reason is we were approaching it by using resumes, and they just flat out don't do what you need them to do. but they're used because that's essentially all we've had in the old school way of doing things.
Well, and I think to the point you're making, and not specifically highlighting, but is there's often a lack of clarity around what the role is. When you're starting from scratch, well, I just need somebody to take care of that. And then we also, hey, can you also cover this? Can you also go? There's not a lot of role clarity for us to aim for or for an applicant to satisfy. And so how would I even know if they were outperforming or not?
They hit the nail on the head. And that's one of the things that Build My Team does. The first step on a sales consultation call is to whittle that down. So
wait just a second. You just introduced a whole phrase that we haven't put in the minutes yet. Who would Build My Team?
So Build My Team is my company that I started to get myself out of this position. If I back up a little bit, I didn't mean to jump the gun on that. The concept was simply that we were doing things the wrong way. So I was in executive coaching at the time. I was looking at how these other companies are doing their hiring. Just this wasn't out of trying to start a new company. I had just exited from my previous company. I had a great exit, did well. I was supposed to be coasting and doing nothing other than awesome patient care. And it was the opposite. We were miserable. My wife and I were absolutely miserable. We took all these HR problems home at night. And any of your husband-wife duos, I mean, good luck. If you know of a way to not do that, then you have cracked the code of the universe, because it doesn't work, you know, in a husband-wife practice. So I looked at these other companies, companies like Disney, the Four Seasons. If you've ever gone to one of like these high-end hotels specifically, they are stupendous at providing terrific customer service. And that's really what we're looking for. I mean, in eye care, where I'm from, or dentistry, or any type of medical practice, I mean, we have clients in all kinds of different healthcare professions and private practices. And they're all about the same in terms of what are you looking for? Well, with the Disney approach, the Four Seasons approach, they didn't approach it in terms of resumes. Certainly people submitted their resumes and such, but they used something called assessments. There's a whole industry called the psychometric industry where they can determine, these assessments can determine what you're naturally good at, natural strengths and talents. And so I looked at how these companies were hiring and said, I think they've got a better mousetrap here. I think they've actually found a way to do it. And they turned the entire hiring pyramid essentially upside down versus how we were doing it. And guess what? They got completely different results. So I tried to do that for our practice. Tried, meaning brought in some assessments, did a whole bunch of stuff. They did not provide great results. So to skip forward, ended up creating a healthcare assessment that will determine if a candidate has the healthcare mindset we're looking for. Then we created another assessment that will measure their speed of learning. It measures their things like stress tolerance, how they work in groups of people, a whole bunch of stuff. We have pages of information about these candidates. And it's all very quick. It's done via text message. So when we start off with the job description, as you said, because a lot of our docs love to take 5 different jobs and try and hire a person to do all 5 of them. Well, you can't, you know, those days are done. We take the job description, whittle it down to 1.5 roles, we'll say, because, you know, you're not going to sit idly in a practice. Then what the process is we publish it out to 20 different job boards. And this is all done without the doc having to have any involvement. We get all of those candidates. And the key is, once a candidate applies, their cell phone buzzes with a text message from us within 5 seconds. And that's how they start the assessment process. We don't use email. We're not calling them, none of this stuff. And it's all automated. So they go through our entire process. And at the end of that, our software gives them a thumbs up if they meet the cut, and the vast majority of them don't. We reject about 97% of applicants depending on the job position as a whole. So that is an approach that we're using now. And it all started from me, believe it or not, texting candidates manually from my cell phone in the practice.
Fantastic. What an amazing evolution. Now, I'm going to pause here, quick break. And when we come back, I want to hear more about how you're bringing that out to the market and helping other providers around the country.
Do you understand your personal cash flow? You know, the combination of your monthly income and monthly expenses. Do you ever think about how much money you made last year and wonder, where did it all go? Understanding where your money goes today is essential to creating an actionable plan to achieve your financial goals for tomorrow. Take control of your finances by downloading the free personal cash flow worksheet. The Prosperous Doc podcast is underwritten by the financial planning firm of Spaugh, Dameron, Tenney, and you can download this free personal cash flow worksheet at sdtplanning.com and click on financial resources. Don't let another month of money confusion go by when you have access to free help. Again, the website is sdtplanning.com. Click on financial resources to download the free personal cash flow worksheet.
All right. Welcome back. Mike, we were talking right before the break about how your work as an optometrist and your practice evolved. Well, you survived the aggravating hiring days, but out of that, you birthed the idea of the business that is now your baby, Build My Team, business built around, I think the tagline, better people faster, helping medical practices get better people. Talk a little bit about, right before the break, you were talking about just the speed with which you're screening people and helping to qualify the ones that are really a potential fit in healthcare. What types of roles are you helping practices, practitioners find? What's your geographic reach now? How's it working?
Yeah. So the types of roles, it's anything that's really unlicensed. We're not finding practitioners or the fully licensed positions. There's some small exceptions to that. But generally, we're looking for the clinical, the admin teams, the financial teams, those types of folks. And we have algorithms for each position as to what makes a terrific person in that role tick. So for example, if you're a dentist, you say, well, what the heck does an eye doctor know about a dental secretary? Well, a dental secretary used to work at an eye doctor's office, and an eye doctor's secretary used to work at a dental office, and vice versa. They're interchangeable. The concept is that if you elevate this a little bit, we're all in private practice. If you're in private practice, the type of candidates that apply in a private practice are super similar across the different healthcare professions. So we kind of use that to start.
And so you are meeting with often, I guess, the practice owner who has heard about you and is saying, please help me quit looking on Craigslist or talking to patients or talking to whoever, getting names. I need something better. And so what's that process look like?
So what they do is they hop on our website, schedule a call so that it's scheduled. No, you're not wasting their time. And simply have that discussion about the position that they're looking to hire. We write the job description. We publish it to over 20 different job boards. We take all of these candidates. We get all the folks screened. And then at the very end, when we have those thumbs up candidates, we do a video interview. And it's a one-way video interview where the candidates answer some very specific questions that we have. And what we're looking for there is to make sure that the assessment matches the type of person who's really there. We're looking for how they answer the questions, not so much what their answers are, but how they answer, what their, you know, the level of confidence they provide, that type of thing. And then those people who pass that video interview, they're sent off to the practice. So from a financial standpoint, the cost is vastly less than what it costs a practice to do it. It's done per hire. It doesn't matter what the salary is. And the most important thing from my perspective as a doc is I have virtually nothing to do with it. So I don't have to go home at night. I'm not missing my son's soccer games. I'm not missing like any of this stuff with the kids or the rest of it. If you don't have kids, well, congratulations. You can spend that time on growing your practice or otherwise. But I'm not having anything to do with that. I get to select from people who are already A players, and nobody else in that entire process has wasted my time.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Now, we were speaking before we jumped on the air just about kind of how work has evolved pre and post COVID. And there are more roles taking place and being satisfied in healthcare practices virtually. Clearly, there's still plenty of them that need to happen and can only be satisfied in office. Are you able to help find either type of fit, or are you generally looking for people that are in the geographic location where the practice is?
We can do both. In fact, in our practice, we have somebody working remotely. And now the caveat is she used to work in the practice. She moved. She's terrific. She's in a scribing position, which can be done remotely. No problem. However, even with that type of position, there's a loss of, I've had to quantify, maybe 20-30%. She's just not quite as effective because she can't walk down the hall and solve a problem with the patient. So healthcare is, for the most part, I mean, billers are different and there's some exceptions, but for the most part, we're an in-person business. And can it be done otherwise? Yes, most certainly. But a great team member in person is how you have an optimal outcome.
Right. And so build my team. I mean, I was really just wanting you to have the platform to say, build my team is designed for the practice who's looking for a real person who can walk in their real office and meet real patients.
You bet.
So you help clarify for the practice owner, here's the role that you're thinking of. Mm-hmm. You go out, you are gathering the initial inquiries, screening them through, doing video interviews, and then being able to present back to the manager, the owner. Yeah. Here's a couple people we think are really qualified candidates for them to do kind of the final wrap up and final decision making.
Yeah, you bet. That's exactly it. We even have some practices where they don't even do the final interviews. We pick. Most practices don't elect to do that. But they're not spending any time in the meantime. They don't have a stack of resumes on their desk. They've got two. They might have three. They don't have to go back and forth with all these interviews that are missed. Because remember, the people who go through our process, they've got 20, 30 minutes, sometimes more, invested in this process. They tend to show up. I mean, they do show up. It's almost unheard of for us to have people who don't show up. These are folks who want the job.
Yep. So at that point, you've hopefully presented really qualified candidates to the practice. They can choose from someone and bring them on board. What's been the experience in terms of the stickiness of the people that go through just the great kind of proprietary algorithmic process that you've created versus, you know, hiring the word of mouth type candidate?
Great question. The stickiness, it's close to super glue. Okay. The reason being, and it's not anything other than this, the candidates that we send over are naturally talented at the position. They have natural strengths and talents for that position. So they get up in the morning, they roll into work, they're asked to do a job that's easy to them. No big deal. I don't really understand why everybody says I'm so great at this. Those are the types of things we're used to because that person is showing up naturally gifted at the position. Now, you pay them reasonably well, you provide a decent work environment. Those folks are perfectly fine doing that. They're not, you know, you need some advancement opportunity too, but they're not an unhappy person in that role. Contrast that to somebody who comes in from a proverbial resume. They're asked to do about half of a job they don't like. They are a round peg in a square hole, and you come along and you're the bigger hammer as a doctor, right? We've all done that. It doesn't work. Those are the types of folks who do their job, go home, hop on the job boards, and are looking for something else. Yep. We put people into a position where they can be happy. It's an actual possible outcome of the role is for them to be happy.
And with the labor market so tight in so many markets, there is a lot of job fluidity right now. A lot of turnover, medical practices getting, as we said kind of at the outro, just this is the worst day for you to quit or put in your notice.
Yeah.
Because this is the world that you're living in, are there any suggestions you are making to the business owners to say, you know, I know you had this turnover, we can help you find the right person, but here's a couple things we're seeing evolve that would help you be more competitive?
Yeah, so one is decision-making. Another is compensation. So from a decision-making standpoint, in the old days, you might take 2 to 3 weeks to make a decision on somebody. Frank, who runs Build My Team and also our practice, he's the executive in charge of both. He has a rule that we're going to decide within a couple hours on the person who applied. So they come in for an interview. We get back to them within a couple of hours. If we want, I mean, sometimes we'll even say it right on the spot. What is gone is the delay because, and this is critical, whether you're working with our company or not, A players want to work with other A players. They will tolerate B players and they're going to quit because of C players. So you're interviewing an A player and they're sitting across from you. They know how good they are. They know that they'd be great at the job. Why does it take you so long to make a decision? Well, if you're going to take this long to make a decision, what else are you going to take along? Maybe this isn't the place for me. Boom, they're gone. Okay. Because they're gone because they've got three other offers lined up. So no matter what, and this is challenging because as a doc, you know, we all love to have all the information to make a decision on. It's very uncomfortable to make decisions without, you know, without it all being in a box with a nice bow on it. Those days are gone. If you delay your decision, the decision will be made for you by the candidate. And that is just an unfortunate reality of where we're at.
That's a great mindset to have. It's the hiring market's a little bit like the housing market in a lot of places, which is if you sit on the wait, it's gone. And then you mentioned compensation, which is obviously important given wage inflation and things that we're seeing. How do you help employers kind of benchmark and level set what is required for their market and what's appropriate?
So apart from all the assessments, we also ask these kind of knockout questions. So for example, one of them is how far do you live away from the practice? And we want to know the distance because let's say you're 20 miles from the office. Every one of those 20 miles, you got to pay gas money. You're going to be looking for a place that'll offer you a similar amount of money closer, so you have less gas, less commute, et cetera. We ask things like, here are your hours that you're expected to work. Can you work these hours, yes or no? We don't want to know about the babysitter problems. I don't know about any of that stuff. Can you do it, yes or no? Also, on the compensation side of things, what hourly rate are you looking for this position? Well, so for example, if you're offering $15 an hour in the practice, and they state that they want $12 an hour, you don't necessarily have to pay them 15, but you don't pay them 12 either. We would suggest you set it at maybe $13.50, maybe $14, and you're going to get somebody who's blown away. That's a big difference in a person at that dollar amount salary. So they turn around and you're giving them a little bit more than what they're asking for. That's immediately different than anything they've ever experienced. You've got the goodwill at that point. And it's a great way to start.
Yep.
We provide a little bit of additional help with that type of thing.
Yeah. Now, I guess since we're stretching the lane lines here a little bit, hiring and hiring the right people is a huge part of the equation. But there's also so much that goes into managing people to keep them and keep them happy. And there's just a lot of docs who are not great managers. I realize this is on the periphery of what you're doing other than the common retention. Any thoughts about that field of just management or suggestions that you've gleaned over the years?
Well, I've learned myself that bringing in a professional manager does wonders and increases the performance of the practice like you can't even imagine. I've lived that. I'm not a professional manager. My approach with Build My Team is to bring very fantastic A players into a role and just let them run, let them do their thing. Now, there are caveats. I have this metaphor where, you know, I'm going to put the guardrails on the road. I'm going to plop them into provide the car. They get into the car, but they can drive it as fast as they want. Guardrails are still on, so we're not going to have anything other than some minor dust ups. With a practice manager who is a fantastic manager, you're going to get a different outcome than what you will as a doctor. So I'll give you some examples of that. How many hours a day does an average doc run their practice for compared to clinical care? Well, the answer is not very many because clinical is how we get paid. The practice managerial side of things is perhaps how we save money, how we don't spend as much, those types of things, but it's not looked at the same. When you have a professional practice manager involved, they're running the business for you. You're not talking about things like filling in for the secretary or otherwise. I want somebody who's going to run my practice for me. And all I have to do is provide updates for them on what these new guardrails look like, things like that. See if the check engine light comes on the car they're driving, you know, those types of things. But having the professional manager do the trick is a completely different approach. And how would Build My Team help with something like that? Well, help you find the person. That's another role we hire for.
I was going to say, this sounds like a great entry point, but the first person you can hire is the person who's going to help hire and manage the other people you need to hire.
Exactly. And as on the doctor side of things, there are very few docs who are professional managers, who are terrific managers. It seems to be perhaps not a polar skill set, but you know, on doc side of things, we always think that we have to be fantastic at everything. And what we really need to be fantastic at is focusing on the patient and being a heck of a great doc, a terrific clinician, a fantastic dentist, whatever it might be. If you think in terms of, let's say an average patient is in a practice for an hour, just picking a number out of thin air. What percent of that time are they with you? on the doc side of things. Right. You know, is it 5 minutes? Is it 10? Who knows? It doesn't matter. What it isn't is 50, right? They're not going to be a client of yours. There's no wealth to manage if they're spending that period of time with the patients. It's the team that's providing the care for the bulk of it. And if you want to advance in healthcare, one of the ways to do it is to adopt that mindset and bring on these A players, get the right people on the bus, the Jim Collins quote, and then get them in the right seats on the bus, and then let them drive the bus. And that's what our company's designed to do.
That's fantastic. What a gift to the profession. Mike, as we wrap up, one of the questions that is maybe a signature question of the Prosperous Stock Podcast is just a chance for you to shout out anyone that comes to mind or has been really significant to you in where you now find yourself. You didn't get there alone. I didn't get here alone. There's somebody that kind of boosted you along the way. Is there anybody comes to mind you want to shout out here?
Three people super quickly. First of all, I started out in an eye care practice as a receptionist, believe it or not. That poor doc. That was a hard job. I did it in high school a million years ago. And I don't know how I didn't get fired, to be honest. My skill set and my natural strengths and talents couldn't have been more different. There's another fellow who...
Wait, so who is this doc who has the patience of Job?
Gary Wetmore is his name.
There we go. Okay, all right.
Yep. And then there's another one, Dr. Joe Rita. He was a fellow that I worked with in optometry school. Showed me the possibilities of running a business in healthcare. Don't take me the wrong way. It's not money first. It's care first. The money will follow if you do a terrific job of that. And the third person is a fellow named Frank Tuffy. He's the fellow who's running Build My Team and the practice for me. He showed me what's capable when a professional manager takes over professionally managing, and it would just knock your socks off. So those are the three people I credit for this.
That's fantastic. And a little splash of your ingenuity and courage along the way too. So, Mike, thanks so much for joining us today. Thanks for what you're doing with Build My Team, for all your help and practices, and all those people who are so perfectly gifted for the roles that you're filling. So
thank you so much, Shane.
And thank you for joining us for this conversation. If you have suggestions for people that are doing cool stuff in medicine, in dentistry, wearing a white coat, email me, shane@prosperousdoc.com. Of course, I welcome you subscribing. That helps our SEO reviews. Welcome your comments, reviews on iTunes and Google Play. And we'll see you back here next time.
This episode of the Prosperous Doc Podcast is over, but you're not alone on your journey. Spa Dameron Tenney has been helping physicians and dentists prosper through financial planning for over 60 years. To connect with us, visit sdtplanning.com today and take your financial wellness to new levels. Join us on the next episode of the Prosperous Doc Podcast.